Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very, 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 very good morning. It's a lekker Vrydag. And hoe gaan dit met julle? So, good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. So, it's, thank God, is Friday. So, welcome to your favorite radio stations, Eagle FM, and your number one talk radio station. So, thanks for joining us this morning. Thank you for joining Eagle FM to be in your company at this very time. And it's always our pleasure to be in your company. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that making headlines. So we keep it clear, little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and give you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So it's a Friday morning, the 22nd of August, and the year is 2025. And if you're just joining us, good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. So today is the 22nd. Anything that have happened? Let's look at our first segment on this day in Africa. So what happened on 22nd of August in the history of Africa? Nothing much really happened. A lot happened. But let's look at nothing much significant happened on the 22nd of August. Now, so on the 22nd of August in 1894, Mahatma Gandhi established the Natal Indian Congress, the NIC, in South Africa. So this was to combat discrimination against the Indian community by colonial authorities. So this organization became a crucial platform for civil rights and non-violent resistance in the region. So, and This one, although not taking place within Africa geographically, the Haitian Revolution, I hope that's the right way to say it, Haitian Revolution, which began with a powerful slave rebellion in Saint Dominique on the night spanning from 22nd to 23rd of August 1791, this holds a deep ties to African history. So enslaved Africans played a very pivotal role in this uprising, and the revolution had profound implication also for the Atlantic slave trade. So today, the 22nd of August, is also the International Day commemorating the victims of acts of violence based on religion or belief. So it recognized, this is also recognized widely. This is recognized widely and also including in African context as well. So International Day commemorating the victims of acts of violence based on religion or belief. And additionally, 22nd August. So if you know the jolly rice, do you know what kind of rice is that? Jollof rice. So if you eat, have you eaten a jollof rice? You don't even. I mean, if you have been in the West Africa, then you know what it is, what we're talking about. But today, the 22nd of August marks World Jollof Rice Day. Jollof or Yolof, I don't know how you pronounce that. So Jollof Rice Day, maybe it's pronounced Yolof. So it's a World Yolof Rice Day or Jollof Rice Day. And Jollof rice is a popular and beloved rice dish from West Africa. So today is that day. So World Jollof Rice Day. Hey, people make days of anything that exists in the world. Frogs and cats and what, you know. All right. So enjoy your Jollof, World Jollof Rice Day today. So, and if you're just joining us, so make sure that you eat rice today and go and find out the Jollof rice if you have it in the shops. Maybe we have it here. You never know. So, but it's actually a popular and a beloved rice dish from West Africa. So, yeah. So, all right. Welcome. And on Friday, August the 22nd, what is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day? He who lives without discipline dies without honor. He who lives without discipline dies without honor. So, now the proverb means that a person who does not practice self-control, you know, order, there's no order or a proper conduct, you know, so throughout their life will ultimately lack respect and dignity when they die. So discipline is seen as essential for living an honorable life, because it shapes one's behavior, one's character, and also your reputation as a person. So, and without discipline, a person may make poor choices, act recklessly, and fail to fulfill their responsibility, which lead to dishonor both in life and in how they are remembered after they leave this world. So, this proverb conveys a moral lesson, emphasizing the importance of discipline as a foundation for earning respect, maintaining integrity, and living a meaningful and respectful life. So he who lives without discipline dies without honor. That's our thought for the day. So hopefully that will help you or guide you in the decision and choices that you make today, that you maintain, yeah, you maintain that integrity and also have that respectful life. So, good morning and welcome. And this is Unpacking the Day. So, what we can expect in the show today, if you have seen on our social media, we were meant to have a live discussion today on how climate change is reshaping Namibia's economy. Veruska, the Gert Veruska Reske, wealth manager and a specialist at Old Mutual, just informed me that it would not be, she's not available today. Something came up, and we will do that. We'll do that next week. So we'll find the time next week, unfortunately. So we won't have that that live discussion with our guest Veruska from Old Mutual. So yeah, how climate change is reshaping Namibia's economy. So we won't be able to discuss that today. So even if we have, we put it. I just got it this morning. So she just informed me this morning. All right. So yeah, what we can look at, we have a story in today's edition of the Villager, talking about you know, actually focusing about on the speech of the Minister of Fisheries. So we're gonna look at that and looking at who is actually eating our best fish, who is actually consuming our very best fish, you know. So so make sure that you stay tuned, and there are a lot of other aspects that we're gonna look at from the articles as well. So make sure that you tune in. So since we're talking about, you know, ocean, so the Prime Minister, Elia Gurare, has urged African nation actually to embrace the blue economy. We can also look at what was he emphasizing when he was in Japan. And something that I couldn't do for a whole week, since starting Tuesday, SADC Summit in focus. There was always something every day. I always said, okay, if we have time, we're going to do that. So let's hope that if we still have time, we're going to look at some of the aspects that come out of discussion in SADC Summit. So welcome. And let's do this. Let's do this together. Let's do this together. So as I said, this is your platform where you also can actually, you know, contribute. So yes, we will be back after this.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, you are tuned in. You are on Eagle FM, And this is Unpacking the Day. So wherever you're listening us, please stay connected with Eagle FM. And you can do that anytime, anywhere. And if you are in areas where you cannot still actually, you know, hear us from the frequency. So what you can do, well, download like I do. Most of the time I'm listening to this. So download the Eagle FM mobile app. And you can do that from, you can download it from the Google Play. You can download it from the Play Store. So download that. And I can tell you, you definitely won't miss your favorite program, because you can listen to anytime from the podcast there, and also a lot of different features that you can find there. So specifically tailored to keep you informed and to educate you, and also to make certain resources actually available to you that you don't need to go anywhere. So you don't need to go anywhere, especially when it comes to different reports. So various reports are there. Get there, download that, and you will thank me later. So, well, if you want to thank me, you can always call and say, Mike, thank you for telling me to download that Eagle FM app. All right? So I welcome that. So today is Friday. Our e-newspaper is out. And if you haven't subscribed yet, make sure that you do that. And if you're really, really looking for that latest business and economic news, get yourself a copy. Get yourself a free copy of The Villager. It's absolutely, absolutely free. What do you need to do? All what you need to do is simply send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44. And save that number. We don't want to become a spam. So The Villager is published every Monday and Wednesday and Friday. So, and you get it for free. So do that, and you will receive this every one of those days, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, and please do follow Eagle FM and also The Villager on our social platform, media platforms. So, and make sure that you communicate to us. You engage us on those platforms as well. All right. And if you have a business and or an event that you want to advertise, so make sure that you in touch with our office to have your business advertised here on Eagle FM or on all our platforms. So the office number 083-288-400. So once you do that, I can tell you, I guarantee you, your business or your event would definitely become successful, or what you're looking for, what you want to do. All right. So welcome. And let's get into our first stories. And if you're just joining us, good morning to you. And you're listening to Unpacking the Day, the show where we take the headlines and shake them out. You know, what we do here, we take the headlines, we shake them out to see what really falls out, you know? So we shake the headlines a little bit to see what is really falling out. And, well, if you're just joining us, I'm your host, Michael Chavetti, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here on Eagle FM. Now, today we are heading to the coast. So we're heading to the coast, to our cold, rich Atlantic waters. Okay? We are heading there. An article in today's edition of the Villager by Nino Menmavali Erastus, Kanjengo Kankwanyo Ka, and Anakleta Haikera. That that article dropped some big impressive numbers from the speech of the minister responsible for fisheries. So it was delivered on Wednesday morning, I think on Wednesday morning, if I'm not mistaken, in Wavish Bay, during consultation with the industry players. So it's first time in this role for the minister, and it was a key moment ahead of the new fishing seasons, you know. So yeah, so the article headline, as I said, we normally shape the headlines so and see what is coming out of there. So the article headline says there are 235 vessels out there right now, you know, 235 vessels out there right now catching fish for our nation, bringing in billions of dollars, creating thousands of jobs, and it all sounds great. So that sounds absolutely great, isn't it? So now, but you know how we do it here on Unpacking the Day. We don't just read the headlines. As I said, we read between the lines. We don't just read the headlines. We read between the lines. So let's now grab our fishing nets and see what's really swimming beneath the surface of this story. Okay, we're gonna go through these stories and looking at some of the things that are coming out of this story. So stick around. This is a big one, really. All right. So let's get straight into it. I'm looking into the story now. So now, the article throws out a huge number, you know, 227.9 billion in export earning over the last 2 years, right? 27.9 billion in export earning over the last 2 years, nearly $28 billion. So now, for the first quarter of this year alone, 4.1 billion, that's enough. I think that's enough really to make anyone sit up and pay attention. 4.1 billion in the first quarter. So our fish is in demand. Really in demand from Spain to Zambia, you know, and this is now presented as a major success story, which it is, you know, so by the ministers as well. So, my first question is, it's always the same. It's always the same. So now I want us to analyze a little bit. Who is money? Is it? Okay. So when we're talking about now this, let's say for a 28 billion or 27.9 billion in 2 years. And we're talking the first quarter is about 4.1 billion. So let's analyze that. Whose money is it? Who is this? Whose money is this? Because as I said, when we're presenting this as a major success story, which it is. So we're not downplaying that, which is the case. Okay. The article tells us there are 200. Now, let's put things together. The article tells us there are 235 vessels in our waters. All right. Now, there is also a hidden angle. The headline doesn't tell you. Okay. The headline doesn't tell you. Now, the hidden angle is, who owns these vessels? We have 235 vessels, but who own these vessels? Are these Namibian boats flying our flag proudly? You know, with Namibian captains and owners reinvesting every single, now we're talking about that, now reinvesting every single dollar back into our communities? Is this these vessels? So, or are many of these foreign-owned vessels part of the large international corporation here to catch our fish, use our ports, and then send the bulk of that $28 billion, send that bulk of that $28 billion back to shareholders in Madrid, in Lisbon, or somewhere else? Are these foreign-owned vessels? And if that's the case, the $28 billion, you know, that's why I'm asking, whose money is it? The $28 billion is not ours. Eh? So we will have share of that, but, you know, that's why I said when we now can look at that and kind of think, wow, you know, that's bringing in a lot of money. We're kind of thinking, so when you're talking about the 28 billions and then what, 27.9 billion, you know, we kind of like, that's a lot, you know, that's coming from our, yeah, that generated from our fishing industry. But how much is that is actually ours? Eh? And when we're looking at 235 vessels, how many of those are foreign owned vessels? So, and if that's the case, then, you know, people are here, then the 28 billion, is much of that is not our own. So there's not much we can really celebrate. All right. So the article really doesn't tell us about, you know, how many of those, are foreign owned vessels. And actually that's a huge piece of the puzzle that is actually missing. All right. So now let's challenge another fact. All right. Let's also challenge another fact. So the government, according to the minister's update, collected 278 million last year from the industry. Follow. So collected 278 million last year from the industry, and that's from the quarter fees, levies, license, and also penalties. Okay. So now, so let's think. Let's pause and think about this. Okay. So I want you to pause and think about last year, the industry probably in around 14,000 billion, or up for, not 14,000 billion, so 14 billion, okay? Now, 14 billion. So remember the 27.9 is actually both 2024, 2025, but last year it's around 14 billion, okay? So, and the Namibia, the Namibian state, the owner of the resources on behalf of us, on behalf of all of us, collected 278 million. 14 billion last year, and we collected, so the owners of the resources collected 278 million. Let's put that, let's put it plainly.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
No matter where you...
All right, welcome back. So, now we're looking at... Just to get back what we were talking about. So, what we're looking at now, I'm still on the question, whose money is it? We're looking at the money. We're looking at the mullah. So So that's the focus now. So the industry generated 14 last year generated 14 billion, and now the state, and as I said, well, the state is the owner. We are the state. I represent. It's on our behalf. They are the owner of the resources, on behalf of all of us. Now collected at 278 million. Million, all right. Now I wanted to just to give a similar kind of like the way you look at it, the way you can look at this. Okay. Now, so that is like now. So this is like you owning a diamond mine. That's like you are owning a diamond mine. Now someone comes and digs out $100 worth of diamonds. Okay. $100 worth of diamond, and then they give you a $2 as your share. So when you talk about 14 billion that generated in the industry and you only get about 278 million, that's exactly the same thing. So someone, you know, as I'm giving an example of a mine, you are the one who owning the diamond mine. And someone comes and dig out $100 worth of diamonds. So what do they give you? And they give you about $2. $2 as your share. So is that a good deal for Namibia? Is that a good deal for Namibia? Are we charging the right price for our precious finite marine resources? Because they are. Right? Are we really charging the right prices for our precious, you know, marine resources? Or are we selling, this is our birthright, yeah? So are we selling our birthright for pennies, for pennies on the dollar? I'm putting that question out there, yeah? It is a debate we need to have. So, while the big export number looks great on paper, you know, we talk about in a quarter, 4.1 billion. So that looks very impressive. But we have to ask, what is the net benefit to Namibia after all the profit have sailed away to Spain? What is the net benefit to Namibia? So that's what we need to debate on about. All right. So, and that's the issue. That's the issue with many others, not only with fishing, with that industry. It's the same with mining. It's the same with, you know, with other mining resources. So that's the point. Okay. So let's have a quick one and we come back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So welcome back. So we welcome back to Unpacking the Day, if you're just joining us. So we have just talked about the billions. We talked about the money, the mullah. Now let's talk about the people, okay? Let's talk about the people, and then we will talk about the fish, and then we will talk about the rights, okay? Now let's talk about the people. So these are all coming from the article. The article proudly states that the sector support over 19,400 Namibian. 19,400 Namibians. So that's great. That's honestly, great. There are a lot of those, quite a number of people that nearly 20 families with food on the table. Okay. From Wavish Bay to Lutris and beyond. Okay. So, and because this is the backbone of our coastal economy, and we must never forget that. So now, but let's unpack this. Okay. The articles note that 71% of these jobs are onshore. All right. 71% of these jobs are onshore in the processing plants. Okay. So, and here's an interesting details. So women make up 45% of that onshore workforce. So that's actually a great story for female empowerment in the industry. Great story. So that we see also women in as a work onshore as a workforce onshore. So 45%. That's really a great story of female empowerment in the fishing industry. Now, but then we get to the offshore jobs. So the offshore jobs, the jobs at sea, now the job now at sea, out of thousands of people working on the vessels, how many are women? So the article give us the number. It's 140. 140. That's it. So, well, this is not a criticism, but it is an observation that needs a question mark. Why? We are in 2025. Why is the deck of a fishing trailer still almost exclusively a men's world? Why? As I said, this is an observation. You tell me. Maybe those who are in the area and know, understand, I have been on the deck. So is it, now the questions are, what I'm thinking, is it due to a lack of maybe training opportunity for women? Or are the working condition on the vessels unsafe or unwelcoming for women? Or is it just that old-fashioned thinking that says a woman place is not at the sea? Is that the thinking? I think this highlight a little bit of how would I say it? A little bit of a bias, a potential bias. The article notes it. The article actually notes it, but moves on quickly. So we shouldn't. So this is a conversation about equality and opportunity. So we have capable, strong Namibian women. Yeah? If we can unlock the potential for them to work at sea, we're not only creating more jobs, but also bring different skills and perspective to the industry. So I don't see why there are only few women on the deck. But here's the question for you, listener, to think about, all right? Now, what practical step can the fishing industry and the government take to make a career at sea a real and safe option for Namibian women? So what do we need to take? What are the practical steps that the government and also the fishing industry to make a career at sea, to make it more real and safe, to become a safe option for women as well, for Namibian women as well? So it's about more, this is about more than just numbers. It's about building a truly inclusive industry, because that is also in our goal. That's in NDP 6. So building an inclusive industry. So that's a question that I'm asking. So what are the practical steps that we can take so that women also see this as an option. All right? So think about it. So I will allow later on when we discuss, you may come through and have your opinion on that as well. Now, okay, let's get now to the most crucial part of this whole discussion. The fish themselves. So the fish themselves, without them, the billion of dollars that we're talking about and the thousand of jobs would vanish, you know, without the fish themselves. Okay? So they are the most important commodity here. Now, the article mentioned that the total allowable catches, or TACs, for key species like hake and horse mackerel have been reduced. The TACs, the total allowance catches has been reduced. The minister's office framed this as a responsible management to ensure sustainability. And that may be true. Okay? That may be true. So, but there is a hidden warning here. Okay? There's a hidden warning. The article also quietly mentioned that the fisheries contribution has been dwindling, quote unquote, dwindling in various species. And that a moratorium has been issued for some species. Think, put 1 + 1 = 2. Okay? So, as I said here, the contribution, the article mentioned this also, that the fishery contribution had been dwindling in various species, and also that a moratorium has been issued for those species. Now, a moratorium means a complete ban on fishing. That's what it means. When there's a moratorium, it's a complete ban on fishing. So you do not, or you don't do that unless a species is in a serious trouble. Yeah? Unless it's actually, that species is in serious trouble. So now think and put things together. So while we celebrate the 4.1 billion in the first quarter, while we celebrate that, are we maybe perhaps ignoring the warning lights flashing on our dashboard? Are we pushing our marine ecosystem too hard? Because when you now started having the moratoriums, it's because there are some species that are in serious trouble. Maybe we are pushing too much. 4.1 billion in a quarter, it's brilliant. It's great. But aren't we overfishing? Because when you started now to put a moratorium, you know, you will have now a certain period of time where you're not actually doing fishing. So, and the minister is doing well by saying, look, we have to put up a responsible management to ensure sustainability. So, and that tells you, if the minister is saying that we have to have a responsible management to ensure sustainability, it means that there has been some practices that actually, you know, that actually make us to fish unresponsibly. And as I said, 4.1 billion and in a quarter is brilliant, but we could be overfishing.
What does financial inclusion look like in Namibia and Africa at large? Tune into Financially Included, where money meets access, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM to hear about the different opportunities, services, and methods that foster financial inclusion in the country and the continent at large. Financially Included, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
All right. So, the mention of a new cabinet measure to address escalating bay catches. Eh? That is, the bay catches are those accidental catching of non-target species. That's another sign of of ecosystem under pressure. So that's another sign of our ecosystem under pressure, really. So, and this brings us to the most politically sensitive part of the whole story. Okay? The fishing rights. So now we are told 462 entities hold fishing rights. 462. So they hold fishing rights. A large chunk of these, I think, will expire at the end of 2026. So the minister gives a commitment that sufficient notice will be given to the right holders. So now, why does the minister have to publicly promise to give sufficient notice? I think it suggests, when you have to think, it suggests that in the past, the process has been unclear, last minute, and perhaps not as transparent as it should be. It hasn't, maybe, as it should be. So the minister is saying now that, and we all know the shadow that hang over our fishing industry, so we don't need to name the scandals. So, but they are in the back of everyone's mind. So we understand that. So the renewal of this right is a moment of truth for Namibia. So, and this is the debate I want to spark today. I want us to think about it now. So as we prepare now to hand out these rights again, maybe after the 2023, after next year, what should be our number one priority? So the chunk of that would actually end, will expire at the end of 2026. Now, as now we prepare to hand out these rights again, so what should be our number one priority? Now, from what we have spoken so far, should we reward the companies that have performed the best and created the most jobs? Maybe the company that have created most jobs, maybe that's the one that we need to reward again with the rights. Or should we prioritize completely new 100% Namibia owned entrants to spread the wealth within Namibian, right? Should we look at that? Or should the main criteria be how much tax revenue company promised to pay, or should it be their environmental record? That could be also a way we look at it. Could be their environmental record and their plan to reduce baggage. We talked about the baggage earlier. So what would be the what should be our number one priority? I think that's something, maybe a decision, because whatever decision we make, it will definitely shape our fishing industry for the next 10 years or 20 years to come. It is too important. This is too important to be made behind closed doors, really. So that transparency that we're talking about. So, well, stay tuned. And when we come back, we're looking at where does our fish goes? So from the article.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
All right. So welcome back. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So, yeah, one last detail from this article. And this caught my eye, and it tells a big story about Namibia's place in the world, really. So where does our fish go? So where does our fish go? The top destination is Spain, which buys our higher value hake. Aturiwe ge hake ka Spain, man. Jesus. Eh? So the top destination is Spain, they buy the higher value hake, and the second and the third destination, and this is actually a good thing, so are our neighbors, Zambia and the DRC, who buy our horse mackerel. So, well, I have no issue with Zambia and DRC because that's also, you know, promoting the intracontinental trade. And definitely that's what we want. So now, so think about that. We are shipping our prime expensive fish, you know, often frozen whole as or sometimes as a basic fillet, all the way to Europe. And we are selling our more affordable, stable fish to our neighbors in Africa. Okay. And don't worry. There's nothing wrong with this. Okay. There's nothing wrong with this. This is just business. There's nothing wrong with that. It is just business, isn't it? But it raises a fundamental question about our, think about it, our economic strategy. So are we content when you look at what we sell? Are we content? And this is actually something that our president is begging on. So are we content with just being the source of raw materials? Are we content? Are we happy simply being the farm, or in this case, the ocean, for Europe dinner tables? Eh? So, and this is one thing that actually, as I said, the president really, really, really hammering on. So just imagine if we did more. Eh? And this is what she's talking about, value addition. Imagine if we did more value addition right here in Wabash Bay. So what if we created a higher end made in Namibia package hake product? Yeah? So ready for supermarket shelf in Spain, not the frozen whole, you know, that we send, or you know, or just those basic fillet that we send. Yeah? Ready made. Made in Namibia, packaged hake product, so ready for the supermarket in Spain. So with Namibian branding, you know, Namibian spices, processed in Namibia factories by Namibian workers. So that would create more. It would create more sophisticated jobs and also allow us to keep much larger slice of that final retail price. Huh? So and that has been, just imagine where we are today, and this still the case. And remember where I asked at the beginning, who is this? Who is this money? Who this money is for who? When you're talking about billions. That's how we lose that money. That's how we lose that money. And we are happy to just be, you know, simply be the farm or simply be the ocean for the European dinners, you know, dinner tables or lunch tables or whatever. So just imagine and wonder why. And wonder why now, you know, the president is really, really, really pushing this. It's because for many years now, we're not getting the value from that we deserve from our resources. And sometime, well, I would call the agenda behind promoting those big export number is to show a thriving industry. Yeah? Which is true, which is very true. Okay? It's showing that the industry is actually thriving. But the real discussion should be about how we move from being a simple exporter of fish to producer of world-class food products. That's the real discussion that we should have. How do we move from just from being a simple exporter of fish to a producer of really world-class food product? So that's how you build a real lasting national wealth. So now let's just summarize this and then I allow you to come in so to have your say. So we see huge export export numbers. We see those huge export number, this huge money, but we must ask who truly benefits and whether Namibian is getting its fair share of revenues from its own natural resources. Are we getting a share of our own natural resources? That's the contention. Now, the industry create important job, create vital jobs, but we need to look deeper into the quality of those jobs and push for genuine equality of opportunity, especially for women at sea. So that it's very important, and that's very obvious from the article. And the future in terms of sustainability, and sustainability is not just seriously, is not just a buzzword that people uses. The signs of a stressed ecosystem are there. The signs are there. And the upcoming renewal of fishing rights is a critical test of our commitment to transparency and good governance. So, and we need to spark a national conversation about moving up, really moving up the value chain. Let's not just sell fish. Let's sell world-class Namibian product. So that's what was hidden between the lines of today's news. So food for thought, isn't it? So let us know what you think. What do you think? So my line is open if you want to have a react or your contribution on this. You may have read the speech of the minister, of the Minister of Fisheries, and also make up your mind on what you have learned or what you have heard from the minister, from the minister. So, telephone number 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So you can come through and have your say.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, The Eye.
Yes, a very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM. And our first item this morning was looking at the article by Nino Minovali and Anna Kletter on looking at some of the aspect that actually comes out of the Ministers of Fisheries during her consultation with the industry players. So good morning to you, and thanks for joining us, and thanks for joining us at this point in time. So yeah, and if you wanna add, or if you wanna subtract, if you wanna contribute, if you wanna, you know, whatever that you want to do. So this is your platform to do that. You are most welcome. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. So, and also, I'm going to go ahead, because our Prime Minister also was in Japan, and he was also talking about a blue economy. So he was actually marketing a blue economy as Africa's future. So, and he has urged African nation to embrace the blue economy as a central pillar of sustainable growth, food security, and regional integration, saying the continent's future prosperity depend on how well it manages actually its oceans and waterways. So that really just, you know, go hand in hand with what our articles have really covered, and what the minister talked about. So, and Ngurale was speaking at the higher level thematic side event during the 9th Tokyo International Conference on Africa Development, TICAD-9, in abbreviation, in Yokohama, in Japan. Akemi. So now let's also explore some of the points he spoke about. Maybe let's quickly quickly look at some of the points he made. So, well, you know the blue economy referred to the sustainable, because that's underlying that word, sustainable use of ocean resources, and that exactly. The reasons when we look at some of the things that we look at. So that use of ocean resources sustainably, you know, and when we're talking asset, the blue economy, then it's referred to that sustainable use of ocean resources to drive economic growth, improve the living standard of people, and also create jobs. So, because there are so many things in the sea. So, and for Namibia, for a coastal country like us, like Namibia, the ocean is not just, I think it's not just a source of food and mineral, but for us, it's also a gateway to broader economic transformation. So, and our Prime Minister highlighted the importance of the blue economy at the ninth Tokyo International Conference on Africa Development. So the conference brought together African, Japanese leaders to discuss building sustainable, resilient, inclusive food system and local economies in Africa. But why do we have to go to Japan? Why does the Japanese should have come to Africa, you know, and discuss this? Why do we have to go and do it in Japan? Now, so the focus, that's just a side thought. So the focus on the blue economy was, I think it was crucial given the continent's ongoing food security crisis. So, we, despite having really abundant arable land, millions of families in Africa remain vulnerable to hunger due to climate change, especially drought and floods. So, yeah, I think the focus on a blue economy it's very crucial. So, because the continent have really problem has food security problem. So now, so our country has recently, as we know, it has recently launched its sixth national development plan, which places the blue economy, that also places the blue economy at the heart of national growth strategy. That is really at the heart of national growth strategy. So, and this includes fisheries, aquaculture, shipping and logistics, mining, water and sanitations. So, and as well as coastal, you know, coastal tourism. So those are, as I said, the blue economy is at the heart of national growth strategy. So it was relevant for us to even be part of that delegation, of that event. So the Prime Minister emphasized the need for sustainable use of ocean resources to create jobs, drive industrialization, and also build a resilient against climate change. So, but there are also things that we need to consider. According to the Prime Minister, so he said the lack of connectivity between African countries is a major challenge. So, and our Prime Minister noted that the success of the African continental free trade area depends on investment in transport and port infrastructure. So, and our role as a logistic, you know, center, a logistic hub in the Southern Africa, he thinks that it could be a crucial, it could be very crucial in addressing this challenge. So he was pitching Namibia, you know, and marketing Namibia in terms of that we could be the central in addressing some of these challenges that, you know, that especially for landlocked countries like, you know, Zambia, Botswana, you know. What are the implications of the blue economy for our country? What are those implications? So on one hand, it offers hope for economic transformation and also job creation. So on the other hand, there are concerns about environmental impact of large scale ocean exploitation. So, and how we can balance economic growth with environmental sustainability. There's that concern. So another issue is the need for value addition. That's always become urgent aspect for this administration, and rightly so. So, value addition before exporting our resources. And we just have seen on the study that we're looking at and what we analyze, you know, how much actually that goes out, how much of that money we generate really goes out. Yeah. So I think value addition, it's good that that becomes a topic. It shouldn't be just a topic. We should be able to see changes in terms of policy, in terms of now either factories being built and, you know, a processing plant being, you know, we must see the difference. So, and our Prime Minister emphasized the importance of investing in industries, you know, that create jobs and wealth locally. Good, very good. But let's do it. Let's see. Let's now start doing. Okay? So we identify what are the problems. We know what are the problems. Let's put up policies that addresses those problems, and let's start doing the work. Okay? That's what we want to see. So and also this is raises a question about our current model, our current economic model, and how we can transition to a more value-added economy. So that should be that we should be, you know, transition to a more for in all sectors to a more value-added economy. So if there's such a word anyway, so hopefully. So the blue economy as we hear from the Prime Minister has the potential to drive growth, to drive food security and even regional integration in Africa. So, and for Namibia, it offers a gateway to broader economic transformation. So, however, there are challenges to address as well, including connectivity, as the Prime Minister have said, environmental sustainability, and value additions. So, but those are challenges that, you know, well, as normally Uncle Buena says, if we put our heads together, maybe those challenges can be overcome. Basically, any, you're most welcome. Our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 9. Please, you are welcome today is Friday. Friday is always slow, you know. For some reasons, you know, Friday is always this slow. So, 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So that's the very number you may call to reach to me and have your contributions.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is Eagle FM, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us. You're welcome. And you are tuned in Unpacking the Day with me, Mike Oshovedi. So, this is another interesting story in today's edition of The Villager. It's a story by Hende Walenga about Namibia, is set to host the Alliance for Financial Inclusion, the AFI, Global Policy Forum, GPF, from 2nd to the 5th of September, under the theme Empowering Society, Enabling Growth. Now, the event which will take place in Swakopmund at the Strand Hotel will see over 700 delegates from around the world, so including central banks, finance ministers, you know, the money people, technology innovators, you know, and other stakeholders as well. So now, yeah, the Bank of Namibia governor, Johannes Gavahap, has expressed the country's commitment to championing financial inclusion in Namibia and showcasing our dedication to making financial service available to all. So, and this is indeed for us, for Namibia, it's a milestone as it positions Namibia as a leader in the financial inclusion space, especially in the SADC region. So, according to the article, the financial inclusion as defined by the Bank of Namibia principal economist and financial inclusion policy specialist, Cecilia Nekwaya Okafo, it's about making sure that every Namibian has access to financial services in affordable, reliable, and convenient manner. As I said, sometimes on paper, this thing sounds so good, all right? So making sure that every Namibian has access to financial services in affordable, reliable, and convenient manner. Well, yeah, we're getting there. So, and the idea is that now hosting this global event provide Namibia with an opportunity to gain international visibility. That's one thing, that we get that international visibility, but also to learn from the global expertise, from the global experts. And also, while they are here, we can be able to forge international partnership with some of these strong institutions as well, or people with money, because finance minister coming, bankers are coming, you know. So, yeah, that's quite a huge opportunities to learn from the expert. And also, we can be able now to forge some kind of international partnership with international organizations. So, and according to the article, FNB, Namibia's head of SME banking, Neshda De Jong, has emphasized the importance of financial inclusion for small and medium-sized enterprises, the SME, stating that it allows them, you know, to receive the same financial services as a large businesses. So he believes that the lesson Namibia can learn from the global attendees are crucial for the country's growth and development. So we need that. We need to have expertise in some of these areas to help us as well. So digitalization has been pinpointed as the key tool for Namibians to become financially included. So as we navigate the digital age, it's essential to ensure that all Namibians have access to the necessary resources and tools to be able to participate in the digital economy. So that's the way to go. All right. So the 2025 Global Policy Forum is really an excellent opportunity for Namibia to showcase our commitment to financial inclusion and learn from the global experts as well. So that put us in a better position. So when we all right, let's get to the caller. A very good morning.
Yes, good morning, Dad Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. It's Friday.
Yes.
Friday is normally quiet.
I'm telling you, it's exciting time.
People probably think it's okay, you know.
We forget our problem. You know already.
You see, maybe we need to be friends with the teachers and the police officers. You know, they have something in their pocket at least.
I'm telling you, even the 25.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's those one when the money, you don't even look at your pay slip because the money just comes and go. It comes in and go.
Sometimes you stress even more when you get paid. Michael, we are talking about housing.
Yeah.
My friend, I've been listening to you since you started.
Yeah.
Just imagine, you say it's 28 billion.
Yeah, around 28 billion, 27.9. So.
Just imagine. Mm. Then, okay, we are not even getting 5 billion or something out of that.
No. No, and this is sometimes as I said, when you look at what is being presented, okay, like the industry generated, let's say for example that quarter we're talking about 4.1, you know, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
And then when we hear that, then we start to think, oh, we think that all this money is actually for us. It is not.
Yeah, it's not at all. It's not us.
So
even just imagine you put all this figure together, 2.87, you put 2.1 for those. Commercial bank.
Yeah.
Then you think that Namibia, they are getting some way.
Mm.
But in the reality, we are in poverty, my friend.
Yeah. And
living in poverty.
And you can understand. And I said, I'm in what the president is trying to do when we talk about value additions, and because you're looking at that, some of this money we lose it because. Imagine we just sent raw fish.
Raw fish. Yeah.
So raw fish, much of the fish that we caught in our oceans, it goes in. Even if the one coming from our own vessels are actually exported in raw, you understand?
Mike, if you look in our fish industry, and you look at the Tanzania, who doesn't even have a fish? Tanzania is more employing more people in the industry of fish.
Yeah.
Than us. Then wondering who's fooling who here.
Mm.
All those vessels they are not full of Namibian.
Yeah, no, exactly.
They come with their own people like a mechanic, captain, you name it. All those critical, high paid job. They come with the owner, qualified people.
Yeah.
But we have our people here, and we are training our people when it comes to this NAFTA. But where we are putting them? Where we are going to use them if we are not getting? The thing is that I'm proposing not to give individual rights.
Yeah.
Let us start allocating to the what? To region. Yeah. Then from the region, we move to association. Association, we move to clubs.
Mm.
We have clubs who are having even like a netball, football, volleyball, you name it.
Yeah.
Why we don't do that?
Yeah.
Why we give individual person a fish right?
Which is actually a good point in terms of, you know, even if let's say for example we own this 100%, and if you have an individual, you are just actually enriching individuals, and the majority of people still go hungry. Yeah?
I'm telling you.
So it is very important that we find a new strategy that we need to really to find a new strategy of allocating, you know, fishing rights. You know,
Mike,
if we really want to make a difference or change. Yeah.
I'm telling, one day I was at the way to one of the, this guy is having a birthday.
Mm.
And he bring a lot of species when it comes to fish, and people are more to meat. Then I was like, what? They don't even know what is this, you know, this is like this small what they make in the salad, sometimes polono, polcon or something. Those red one.
Mm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah.
My friend, people are more eating, I'm telling you, they're eating meat than fish because they didn't get used to.
Mm.
Then you are talking about fish which you, not in much Bangla, which you used to every day.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the problem is that our fish, we are not even eating it in our country.
Yeah. Much of the best fishes, we are not eating it here. They are expensive. They are very expensive.
Expensive. And they are not even available sometimes.
Yeah.
Not even to one of the supermarkets which are selling. Like, you never find it. If you get lucky to find a tuna, maybe you find it, but it's not a full.
Yeah, but you know, one can understand that. One can understand that. As I said earlier on, I said this is business. The company would actually prioritize their market, which is actually Europe or Zambia or the DRC. So, but then we locally are actually left with the what kangaroos or whatever.
And the kangaroos don't even
know. Yeah.
We are laughing, but this is a serious matter.
No, these are really serious things. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. The thing what I'm thinking that those rights are going to end next year.
Yeah. 2026.
Let us change. Let us change them the way we used to allocate. Seriously, there must be a policy.
Mm.
Directing that, you know, any person with you can even own your officers, but there must be Namibian Association or Namibian Council.
Yeah.
Attached to that vessel. Mm. Because why Angolian they can able to do it? Why we not you can able to do it? Because in Angola, you can go there with your money. You have to register under somebody's business. Yeah. I mean name.
For actually, you to operate. That's the thing. It's enforcing the policy. The policies are there.
Yeah.
The policies are there. Enforcing them is the big problem. Especially when you have some people that are benefiting. The people who are who should be enforcing the policies.
Trying, yeah.
Entrusted to enforce the policy. If they have a loophole where they are benefiting, they then this is where you have a problem. Huh?
That's the problem now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, no wonder there's Marinel Act. It takes long time even up to be changed.
Yeah.
Up to now. And the fish rod was the benefit out of that.
Exactly.
And now we are still using it. You see?
Yeah.
This is a kind of problem I think we have in as a Namibian. And the thing is that, seriously, when you are speaking at, you look at the money which you are getting, just imagine 28 billion, and then you are getting like less than a billion.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. I gave an example of like, if you have you own a mining diamond, a diamond mining, where you are now someone dig it out, dig a worth, 100 Namibian worth diamond. And,
yeah.
And at the end of that, he's actually giving you $2 as your share.
It doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah. When you're talking about 14 billion last year, and you only get about 700 million. That's basically like
what
you're getting $2 from 100. Yeah. So if you were saying that all of the vessels are Namibian vessels, and then you can say, well, the money probably it's us with the Namibians or something like
Namibians,
that. Yeah, it's benefiting Namibians, even if the government itself get less or something like that. But now, the government is the one that's representing all of us, you know?
You see, now. And they're not making a right decision to you for tour. But the problem also what I've seen is that you can't just, like now, the Spanish are taking those resources.
Yeah.
And people, even you go to Spain, they don't even have much. They are taking oil from the what? But they are selling fish there.
But even the fish that
like
they
say, UK, they are the one who are supplying. You see now.
Yeah. But
instead
the fish
of Namibia supplying directly straight to UK.
Yeah, with a final good, with a final product, you know.
With
fish, okay, maybe with other minerals, I can understand, really, because
yeah,
maybe
but
the building
seriously.
No, well, like having an oil refinery, it requires
yeah.
a lot of money
lot
to
of money.
Build up
yeah.
maybe infrastructure and all that, but with fish. Even our Kent, where do you know what? It's actually going mm-hmm. down in South Africa.
you know? Yeah? Is that so hard for us to do it in
Namibia? It's going down in South Africa. Hmm?
No wonder we're hearing even the biscuit with the 1 million is come from South African mm-hmm. flowers. And
yeah.
Just imagine.
So much of the products that we have actually are canned in South Africa, and
no.
And with fish, I really don't understand. I think it's we need to add value to fish. At least with fish, it's not something that is actually
what
difficult.
We need is just a factory with a lot of refrigerator.
Yeah,
then people can work there. To cut it also, and you know what? Mm. Even the thing which you unwanted, which we are cutting from the fish,
yeah.
you can turn it to even dog food.
Exactly. So yeah. Many
yeah.
other things.
Many
other
products
also.
Hey,
yeah.
you see now. And now we are sending everything.
We're sending raw.
And as I said,
I understand, you know, when the president is actually really pushing, and he shouldn't be just talking, you know,
We see
what we need to do. Let's do it.
Do it now. Yeah. There's no more talking. Talking
let's,
is nice.
Let's do
enough
it.
Enough now. We've been talking for 35 years.
Yeah. Let's
yeah.
just do it.
Now, hmm? Action, my friend. Let us take action.
Yeah. And if
we are just talking, we'll be just talking for until what?
Yeah. And if we say, look, we're saying 19,400 people employed in the industry. We think that's a lot. Really?
No, not a lot at all. No.
No.
Not a lot.
No.
That is not a lot. It's a drop in the ocean. Because
yeah.
I'm telling you that our ocean is supposed even to take half of the what?
Yeah.
The population.
On shore, we should have
800,000 or even like 1 point something.
Yeah. On shore, we should have, if we have a processing plant, you know, definitely would take up many, many, many other people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And we think 19,400, it's a lot. No, it's not.
It's not a lot.
In that industry. Serious, it's not.
No. It's what I'm telling you that it is. The other country who doesn't have even a sea, they are more embroiling in people who are working in the sea. I mean,
are you still there? Oh man, don't tell me that this line has started again. Mandume, I can't hear you anymore. Mandume, I can't hear you anymore. So hopefully, seriously, I hope that the line doesn't start again, doesn't start with me again this way. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Yes, good morning. Say, how are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm great.
Mm.
Are we having a general topic or we have a particular topic on which...
Were you listening? Were you not listening?
I have a radio. You're talking about finance. Digitalize or something, and then you come to mineral or something like that.
Yeah, no, we had probably three items on the show. We talked about we were looking at the speech of the ministry when it comes to about our fishing industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and especially when we're looking at that, much of our we actually export raw fish. you know, to country like Spain and other African countries and ourselves. And we are not making, we're not adding value to resources like that. So what is your take?
Well, what I can say, what I have seen, what I have observed, obviously, is that, you see most of the, so-called, entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
You know, most of the resources like the fish are in the hand of individuals.
Yeah.
Those we call businessmen, you know, that they submit, they have a
they got a fishing right. Yeah.
Yeah, they got the fishing quotas.
Yep. Mm.
And then they don't even intend to do anything. They sell their share and then just get money at the end of the day. And even if they get money, they don't think of setting up a factory or something.
Processing factory or so.
Yeah, processing factory or something like that. And that is the problem. So we were actually thinking that in order to solve that problem, in order for us to hold custody of all the resources must get out of the hand of the individuals and collectively come back to the government, government, and then the government has to decide.
Yeah, like maybe quotas are given to regions.
Yeah, those that are going to get that, they must put money together so that they can actually set up processing plant. If you want to share, because these people, so they get money, they travel all around the world, they sleep, they don't do anything. Who would want to do something if you are already getting 2 million at the end of the day?
Yeah,
you see, that is the biggest problem, because I think. When that same Nyoma was there, I think we have processed one of those fish here in Namibia, and then all of a sudden they were actually transferred to South Africa. And we don't understand, or we don't even know, or nobody has ever told us what was the reason. You see, yeah. So that is my problem. And you know, those are natural resources that belong to each and every Namibian.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, which means the government in places have to preside over those things. They have to administrate it. And they have to make sure that when these benefits that are actually coming out of this product benefit each and every Namibian. But
yeah.
Now they are only benefiting individuals. And this is the biggest problem, that individuals are not interesting. Or they don't have any interest of having a factory or something so that Namibians can be employed. And that is the problem. They are actually using the policies of the globalists. This is the problem.
Yeah.
I think I have answered there. And what is the other topic?
The other topic is it's about that there's a financial a financial forum. What is it? Let me just get to the, well, how do you call it? The, it's a forum. Let me just get on my notes to say exactly what it is. Just hold on. It's that Namibia is hosting the 2025 Global Policy Forum. Okay, so this is about financial inclusion. So what is this is all about, and what we're actually looking at, it's looking at now that how do we make sure that everybody, every Namibia have access to financial services, that the financial services are affordable, are reliable, are convenient, they are in a convenient manner. So those are some of the things. So this now event, which will actually take place in September, will then there will be a lot of finance ministers, central bank governors, technology innovators, stakeholders. So they will be gathering here, and then definitely we will then be able to gain some international visibility, but also learn from the global expert and also then forge international partnership. So, but my question in terms of that is then when we talk about, you know, financial inclusion, or financial service in being affordable, being accessible, being reliable, That's a totally different story in Namibia. Yeah, especially when it comes to SME.
Obviously. That is where I actually also wanted to contribute there, or either to put my input there.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand as to why we have to depend to other people's ideas. My biggest problem is that I actually wanted to ask who owns the money and who owns the bank.
Yeah.
Who control our monetary systems? You see, and then you are talking about the
and these are foreign investors, yeah?
These are foreign investors.
Yeah.
And they're talking about digitalized will enable each and every Namibian to get access to financials. But to me, when I look at this digital system that they are actually talking about,
yeah,
it's not about, it seems as if it's a miss, it's a pretext to me. Because you can't tell me that when the money is digitalized, that it will reach each and everybody.
Well, that when it's digitalized, it's when it can be, can be able to reach everybody. Would it not facilitate the accessibility in the way that maybe that instead of a person actually come to, to town? So if I can put up on my platform what I'm selling, and then on an instant, like when they're thinking of, they will introduce an instant payment, whatever system. So
it might be if it's yours, or if you have a total control on that.
Yeah.
But if it's not yours, I have technologies have got some advantage and disadvantage. And most of these technologies are actually now being used by those that want to arrest the world.
Yeah.
Specifically in terms of economics and financial system. So, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. But the problem, the problem also is that the other issue is that when, no matter what, if that's why we need probably have to have our own soft engineers, train our own people to have soft engineers, because they will use this financial system, and if you don't follow them, you will lag behind.
The tools to control you.
Yeah, of course.
That is where I'm going.
Yeah, but then you will lag behind if you don't use that. Yeah.
That is now the problem.
Mm.
This is like when I was, let me just go out a little bit, the other things that I have, but it's similar to this one.
Yeah.
You know AI? Do you understand AI?
I do. Yeah.
Now, AI, when you look at these things and try and observe and find out exactly at the end of the day, it's going to take you to a stage where you don't need to send your child to schools, and your whole life is going to depend on AI. You do everything through AI.
Yeah.
Then there's going to be a point when you can no longer go back. You have no alternative. You only have AI. When your whole life depends on AI, that is when the owner or the one that control that, the one that have a total control is going to say, look, if you don't do this, you are not going to make use of this.
Exactly. I mean, it's slowly it's happening. I mean, if you have been in country like in Europe, and it's totally different things. Like, but you can see that when you come in any service now, let's say for example, you may not need a security person anymore. You come and press, you put in your number, it give you a paper. You know, it put you already on in the queue. You understand? You know?
Yeah.
So that means, as you're saying, as the time goes, maybe we may catch up later. This might not really happen much in our time, but you're right that this is coming. And they would have control how the world would actually move forward, you know. And you just have to dance to that.
Yeah, I got you very well, and I think you understand each other very well on that point.
Yeah.
It's time for the ShopRite Home and Appliances promotion. Upgrade your home and live in style with a wide range of products, like An Essentials 1.7 liter auto kettle for only 149 Namibian dollars 99 each, and a 24 liter Essentials mini oven for only 899 Namibian dollars 99 each. Don't miss out on these special deals and more. Offers valid until 7 September 2025. Only at ShopRite, the home of lower prices you can trust. Always.
All right.
What I was saying is that it's coming, and somehow there might be a way for us to avoid. But I think there is a way, because you have a government in place that then have to draw a line and say, look, we have a policy that limit you. Once you come with these things, you know, like in South Africa, I think what they are actually having in place is very good. If you want to come there as an investor, And a South African's own company must have a certain percentage of that company. But what I actually wanted our countries to do is that the government itself must have also at least 40 to 30% share on that system. You know, these are business people. Yeah. The reason why they come here is they want money and they want total control, and what they want to control our government also, because as you have seen now, they are going around buying companies that carry an impact when it comes to economy. You see, they don't come here for nothing. They come here for money. That is what they want.
Yeah.
So you must have a government that not only knows but understands and also do consultations. There are most people that understand to how these things work. Most of this method, you know, these globalists, they are very much methodicals.
Of course.
They know what they are doing at the end of the day.
Their
calculation is not going to affect you, or it will not come to surface within 5 years. It will come to 35 years and say, we got them now. It's about time we make them submit to this one. If not, we are going to pull this one away.
Exactly, you're right. And the thing is that this institution, they are not looking at tomorrow. They're already thinking 50 years from now on.
Of course.
And the other thing is that we normally trap ourselves, because sometimes when we sign up for these conventions, when you are part of this, you know, of this convention and that. Then let's say, for example, when we wanted to kill the elephants to feed, you know, the population because of drought and all that. So now you have already institution that reminding you that no, you can't do that because you are a part of this conservation or what I don't know what status.
Of course.
So and then now. Internationally, you are now obliged to say, okay, I can't do that because I'm a member of this. Then I'm kind of, you know, contradicting what I believe in as part of that group. So we sometimes have to be very careful what we choose to be part of, because in the end, it becomes our own downfall.
Let me give you an example. In 2022, early February, when the Russian invade Ukraine.
Invade
the Ukraine.
Yeah.
The Americans knew, what they knew is that they are going to sanction Russia.
Yeah.
And then once they sanction Russia, and then they make sure that the Russian oil and gas is not going to be sold in Europe.
Yeah.
But then they find out, or they knew that if there is nobody that is buying Russian oil and gas, it is going to trigger inflation. You see. And the most economy that is going to be affected is the Americans.
Yeah.
So they encourage the Indians and the Chinese to buy up the Russian crude oils on a price cap. You see? Do you understand?
I'm following. Yeah.
So they encourage them, because if the Indians let me say the population of the Russians, I mean the Chinese is 1.34 billion, and then the Indian is 1.4 something. You see?
Yeah.
If and you know all these countries, they buy their oils in the Persian Gulf.
Mm, yeah.
Now if China and India bought the also stop if they buy their oils and gas from the Persian Gulf, then the price of the oils will go up.
Yeah, Bob. Yeah.
Then it's going to affect the world economies.
Mm.
Given that the reserve currencies is actually connected to the whole world's economy. You know, you need to buy USA dollar in order for you to go and trade between the countries and countries.
Mm.
Given, yeah. So now when the Americans come, they say no, because we want to defeat the Russians and you know that. So you Indians, you need to stop now buying the you Indians and the Chinese here too. You need to stop now buying the Russian crude oils, because you are actually failing the Russian missiles and all on. So they are killing they will use you. And this is the word of Henry Kissinger, who said it's dangerous, very dangerous if you are not American's friend, and it's also fatal when you are friends, because in any way they will use you.
You will lose in any way. You're not playing a winning game.
You see, I mean
we can look at from South Africa, you know. So with the tariff, you know.
Exactly. And then they said, they hit India with 50%. But the Indians, they said, no, we can't be submissive to you. This is what we are going to do, and we are doing it for our people.
Yeah.
And this is where we are saying a country must have certain policies where they say, no, this is where we are going to end.
Exactly.
It is good, but we are not yet there unless you give us this. Not only say there's something new, and then you just jump in. At the end of the day, they will arrest you with that.
Yeah, but you can do that when you are actually in the position of power and strength.
Obviously.
Yeah, economically as well. But when now you owe, you know, some of these institutions, you know, then they actually decide how this is gonna pan out. You know, in most cases, that's the case.
And you know, the other question that I actually also was having is that why don't we play muscles on our money? This is our money. The bank comes to his businesses to make money. Why does they have to decide on our money?
When
your money is digitalized, and you are in Windhoek and you want to go to the cattle post. Now in cattle post, there's a lot of people that you pay. You take maybe about 15,000 or 20,000. We intend to do some work there, the farmer.
Yeah.
You're going to be there maybe perhaps for how many? For 2 weeks.
For a
three
week
weeks.
Or so, yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And then you take that 20,000. So the way that you're going to the transaction that is going to happen there, the cattle post, is to how you're going to carry out your jobs. It's not monitored by the bank.
Yeah.
And that is the main reason why these people want to digitalize the money.
Yeah.
It's not because they want to provide a good like they are actually saying. That is just a pretext. You see, because when you are giving money to your sister or to your worker in cash, it's not because they don't get interest what they actually take from your money.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, this is one of the reasons also. We have a vast Namibian, vast a lot of peoples, especially in Africa, who are not connected.
Yeah.
If you go to my village there, if 6 kilometers away from the road, it's no network. You can't go to WhatsApp. You can't call anybody.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, you know, they create this as a service, as a financial services, and definitely not much of that. Okay, one can see that, you know, also maybe an element of control. They want to, you know, they of course, there's an element of control.
An element of control.
Yeah.
So, but also, I wouldn't say the whole design of that service, it's just to control, but there are also benefit within it. Yeah. So, as I said, when you are there, you know, if you have this instant paying or something like that, you know, it takes you, it takes a lot of headache out of your way to go and withdraw and then give everybody.
At the time when you are around here, it has got a very good advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the end, like I said, when your whole life depends there, it's going to be used as a tool.
Of course, you're out there. You're, everything is in the open. Whoever controlled the system have all the information.
This is where we are saying, us who are the owner of the money with our government, we must be given alternative. What we want should be there. We could not say, no, all the money is going to be digitalized and we are no longer going to get the cash money. How is that possible? It's my money.
You want to smell it. Money. You want to smell it in your hands.
It's my money at the end of the day, and it's my government's money. It's not their money, their business. They come and make the money. They don't have to decide on us. It's our money. If we want it digitalized, it's fine. If I want my money to be digitalized, it's fine. If I want to have cash, it's my money. I'm not taking any money's, anyone's money or the bank. It's my money. I want it cash. Give it to me cash.
I understand.
It's just going to be digitalized. Just going to be digitalized. No, that is a problem.
But we also have then to think if you were only going to do business in Namibia, that would be easy because you said, look, I don't need to be digitalized because we just locally, you know, do the transaction. But once you start then to do with over across the borders in other countries, you need a system that, you know, connects you
You see, we are not rejecting. We are not saying we don't want that system. We are saying let it be let it be, there must be an alternative. Whatever I want to do with my money, after all, it's my decisions, not you as the bank or something.
Yeah.
If I am allowed to get my money from the bank as cash,
let me get it.
Fine. If I want to do my business through digital somewhere else, it's also my decision. So everything is open to me.
You know, there will be a time when you're giving someone money, cash to someone, you kind of like, look at, why are you giving me cash? You know, there will be that time come. That time is coming, you know.
I understand. I understand it. It might become, but as long as we have a total control on that one, whenever somebody comes and used as a tool to control the whole world or the whole country, to say, if you are not agreeing to this one, then you are not going to use it. That is my problem. That is my argument.
Yeah. And how do we deal with that? It means that we have to create, how would I say it? We have to have expertise that can actually counter that in a way, isn't it?
Look, like you said, like in China.
Yeah.
I had a Chinese friend. They have that. It's almost. So Chinese are not being controlled by the globalists.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is fine. Us, we are vulnerable.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. That is the problem. And this is where we're saying the government must draw a line.
Yeah.
Either you give me 50% so that I can also have a total control, or you give my people alternative. Because after all, it's their money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I understand you. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to touch a little bit on refinery.
Yeah, you have 2 minutes, then. We're coming towards the end of
it. Look, you see, most countries don't really build refineries because they have crude oils, or they produce crude oil.
Yeah.
One, my posed a question to himself as to why do they opt for that instead of buying a finished product of oil.
Or selling finished product, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
To me, I see this whole refinery thing, it's an industry on its own.
Yeah.
You see,
if you buy crude oil, if you have enough money to set up something, because you can even go to, if, let me say, if the refinery will cost you $10 billion,
yeah,
you go and borrow that money, and then you set up. And I know they will not give it to you if you say you are going to build a refinery.
Yeah.
Because they know that you're going to be on your own.
Mm.
And then you are going to know a lot of things. Because once you buy crude oil, you will buy about 10 to 9 commodities at once.
Yeah.
You see? Yeah. And the price is not going to be that exhaustive as the one that you are buying finished product. You have diesel, you have petrol, you have engine oil, you have waxy, you have asphalt. Asphalt is the one that you use for bitumen, the one that builds you, that product that you use to build the road.
Yeah.
It's out of crude oils. You have waxy, where paints, silicones, and all plastic things are actually being made of. You see? And then you have jet fuels, you have diesel, petrol, paraffins, engine oils, all those things that you get from them. When these people are saying, no, you can't buy, you can't set up a refines, these are the things that they're trying to prevent you to know.
Yeah.
Because they know that you are going to have an industry on its own. Exactly the same one as the one for the nuclear power station. It's an industry on its own.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So they will tell you, no, you can, and the Americans or the foreign policy of the American, they have put this pretext of saying, no, look, countries are not going to be allowed to build nuclear power stations because they might end up building
nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons.
Mm.
It's just a pretext. They just don't want you to be sufficient because once you have that, it generates power. You can even set up a steel factory. You can set up whatever you want to set up because you have uranium that is just here in Swakopmund.
Yeah, and that's what we said earlier at the beginning, to say they don't want you to be in the position of power.
That is power on its own.
Yeah, so
and that is the reason. And this is the reason why they are trying to come up with this system in order to arrest us, in order for us not to be on our own.
Nah.
You see, like, these things, they are all linked together.
Yeah.
And I'm 100% encouraging the president that if we are going to borrow money to set up infrastructures like the nuclear power stations, the refineries, let Namibia be obliged to pay that money back, because it will take us only 10 years and we are going to be one of the competitive developing countries in the world.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you for your contribution, man. So,
thank you, boss.
All right. Thanks for coming through. Yeah.
Okay. Thank
you. All right.
Well, good morning and goodbye. So that actually brings us to the end. Let's quickly.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You come to the end, man. It's past 3:10. We come to the end already.
I'll continue tomorrow.
All right, Nip.
We got the same topic.
All right, great.
All right. So that's bring us to the end. So I don't know why people are calling now this time. So we actually let me say my goodbye. Goodbye. All right. Our time is about 3:10, and that brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day, this episode this morning. It's a Friday morning. Let's do this again Monday morning at the same time from 8 o'clock to 10. And make sure that you come early, not at this time, because, you know, this is the end of the show. So I'm going to leave you with Mr. Franz coming up with Kutha Mosha. And so over to Windhoek and goodbye. Until tomorrow, let's see each other tomorrow on Mind Matters at 11 to 1 o'clock tomorrow. So goodbye for now and have a good weekend.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.